Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Good afternoon. It's 20 after 12, and welcome to GX on Agriculture. It's a busy day here, so let's not waste any time at all. The Agriculture Weather Outlook is a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous, New Holland, and Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And time now for Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak has forecast some light flurries this morning, but certainly nothing that's going to amount to much, Phil.
Yeah, it's hard to even mention as a factor because it's there. We may still, even right into the evening hours, see a few of these flurries, but they're not amounting to anything, just nuisance-type stuff flying in the air. It is going to stay pretty gray. Cloud cover thinning out in spots, so we'll get some at least bright spots through as the day goes on, especially through the evening. While that risk of flurries is there, the overall trend of the cloud cover is going to be for a thinning of the cloud, so we'll get into a gradual clear-out tonight. But at least through the daytime, we're not going to get to see too much blue. Minus 13 is our high today. Wind northwesterly, been averaging 10 to 15. Could go as high as 16 to 18 this afternoon. Wind chill in the minus 20s. For tonight, as we clear out, the wind comes down, but so does the temperature. Minus 23, averaging around a 10 kilometer per hour wind. Spots that drop even more, where we get almost a calm wind, which will be possible, especially for areas north and west of Yorkton, may drop a few more degrees. But tomorrow, sunshine, up to minus 12 for the high. Light south to southeast wind at 10 to 20. High pressure is in control. It's the cool high rather than that cold Arctic high that's been pushing southward at times. So we're below average, but tolerably below average, we'll call it. There is going to be another system that tracks across for Friday night into Saturday. We're really on the fringes of a secondary system, which, when you say it that way, seems like, well, what are we getting? And the answer is not much. We'll likely get some snow and likely some accumulating snow, but the primary storm is way off to the south. In fact, it's going to be missing us by a border and about three states, cutting through Kansas. That's the main storm system that's tracking eastward. The moisture is going to spread north of it across the northern plains in the U.S., and then there's a secondary wave cutting across southern Canada that's going to take that moisture and pick it up and pull it into a good portion of Saskatchewan and Manitoba for late Saturday and Saturday night. It's the, like I say, the fringes of the moisture, we're talking about moisture that's being pulled up from that second storm, it'll bring a little bit of its own with it, and that's why the threat is there for some accumulation. But it's primarily through Saturday night and Sunday, or early Sunday, that we get this snow through. Most of the daytime Saturday dry, most of the daytime Sunday is dry. But the secondary storm develops and strengthens a bit more, and as that happens, it's going to start to drive a gusty wind down on us. Northerly wind picking up by late Saturday to 25 to 45 kilometers per hour. Minus 12 is the high. Wind chill at that point, minus 20s, but the temperature drops Saturday night into early Sunday. Still dealing with that gusty wind, we'll be down close to minus 20 by midday Sunday, and that means the wind chill down through the minus 30s. So clearing out, but blowing snow and that dangerous wind chill at times on Sunday. The cold air gets locked in, but it'll begin a slow moderating trend. Monday, I'm not going to feel it. Mostly sunny, lighter wind at least, with a high minus 17.
All right, thank you, Phil. Now, turning to this hour's temperature roundup, it's minus 18 in the Paw, minus 16 in Swan River, Regina, Saskatoon, and Hudson Bay, minus 19 degrees for Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington, minus 15 in Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, minus 14, Dauphin, Shoal Lake, Russell, and minus 12 this hour in Brandon, minus 13 in Roblin. In the Yorkton-Melville region, partly sunny. The wind is north-northwest at 10. Relative humidity, 72%. Our temperature holding steady over the past several hours at minus 16 degrees. Yesterday's high and low, minus 14 and minus 25 in the Yorkton-Melville region. Normals for this date, daytime highs around minus 6 with overnight lows near minus 18. The warmest place in the province yesterday, Leader, reached minus 5. Saskatchewan, cold spot, Valmarie, minus 34. In Manitoba, Great Falls was the warmest place, minus 5. To Dooley Lake, the coldest at minus 30. Sunrise this morning, 7:52. The sun will set tonight at 6:15. Again, our current temperature is minus 16. It's coming up on 12:26 now. We have AgriView coming up at 12:30. Let's check in again now with Tanya Cherry.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
GX94, AgriView.
Wynyard area farmer Norm Hall hopes to be the next president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. An election will be held next week in Ottawa as the CFA holds its annual general meeting. Longtime president Ron Bonnet recently announced that he was stepping down.
He's stepping down after 9 years as president of the Canadian Federation of Ag, and he has grown a lot in the role as president, and he's led the Canadian Federation to a new spot, and we're talking with government, we're dealing with a lot of issues that we hadn't dealt with before, and making partnerships with organizations all throughout the industry to help deal with the issues that are in front of farmers. And as a mentor, I've learned a lot from Ron. One needs to be learning all the time when you're in a leadership role, and there's always different quirks and things that you can do to be a better leader, and Ron has always kept me on my toes and learning new things.
Hall, currently vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, is one of two declared candidates to take over as president.
Myself and Mary Robinson, the past president of the PEI Federation of Agriculture, are running for the president spot.
Hall says they will each be given an opportunity to address the voting delegates.
Each of us will get 5 minutes at the podium to blow up our own balloons, and then it's up to the electorate to cast their ballots. And there's members from all across Canada. There's the 10 provincial general farm organizations, and then a number of national commodity organizations as well that are members of CFA. And both Mary and I have been campaigning to try and attract these votes, and I guess we'll see what democracy says.
Hall was previously president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan. He says as president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, he'll have to represent farmers from all regions of the country.
Agriculture is so different and yet so much the same across Canada. In Saskatchewan, we have a very young and very small fruit and veggie sector, where as you get into Ontario, and it's a much larger sector than it is out here. And we're also representing aquaculture with the CFA, so that's a steep learning curve. And supply managed is a much bigger sector in Eastern Canada than it is in Western Canada, but it's all important just the same. So it's learning all of the different pieces, which I have over the last 7 years with CFA, and representing them as well as we can.
The Canadian Federation of Agriculture's annual general meeting will be held next Wednesday and Thursday in Ottawa. The election for a new president will take place on Wednesday afternoon. Canadian farm equity rose by over $30 billion in 2017 to $503.9 billion. StatsCan reports the value of assets and liabilities increased at a similar pace, both up 6.4% from 2016. Farm equity rose in every province except New Brunswick. Real estate continued to comprise the majority of farm asset holdings, accounting for 3/4 of the total asset value in 2017. The value of farm real estate rose in every province, up by $30.6 billion nationally from 2016 to $442.4 billion in 2017. The total value of Canadian farm inventories of crops, inputs, and livestock increased over 5% in 2017, the first increase in inventory value since 2014. Record soybean and canola production led the way. USDA predicts stagnant prices, and the continued U.S.-China trade war will weigh on the overall ag economy in 2019. The agency expects U.S. farmers will plant 85 million acres of soybeans this year, down 4.7% thanks to falling commodity prices and ballooning stocks amid the trade war with China. Corn acres are projected to take over most of the lost bean acres. Wheat acres are not projected to pick up as many lost soybean acres as expected. Winter wheat acreage is expected to be the lowest since 1909. Wheat prices in the U.S. are expected to average about $5.20 a bushel this year, up about 1%. USDA officials announced the projections at the agency's annual Agricultural Outlook Forum held in Arlington, Virginia, yesterday. And an animal rights group is calling new federal rules for transporting livestock a massive betrayal. Animal Justice says the Canadian Food Inspection Agency ignored the input of thousands of people who wanted significant changes to the regulations. The group wanted shorter transport times for animals, protections from severe weather, and an end to the use of electric prods. Animal Justice says it believes Ottawa gave in to lobbying from the meat and egg industries. The group says under the new changes, animal transport times are only slightly shorter, and there are no temperature or weather restrictions on transport. And that is today's Ag Review. It's coming up on 12:37. We have the livestock market report coming up here shortly. First, let's check in again now with Tanya Cherry. It's 20 before 1 now, time for the livestock market report, a presentation today of Pattison Agriculture.
Livestock market conditions.
April live cattle futures trading this afternoon at 128.45. That's down 75 cents from yesterday's close. June live cattle 118.92, down 40 cents. March feeder cattle 142.90, down 97. April feeder cattle 145.22, down 85 cents. April lean hogs trading up this afternoon at 55.75 a hundredweight. That's up 277. And May lean hogs 65.50, up 247. Those are the latest U.S. livestock futures. We have the grain prices coming up here in about 8 minutes from now at 10 to 1. The Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association recently held their 49th annual convention in Vancouver. Jim Wickett from Rosetown is chair of the Wheat Growers.
We had lots of good speakers and we had some great panels, a transportation panel and a seed value creation panel. So there was lots of lively discussion. And then we had Port of Vancouver had a very good tour and then a good talk at our about different things that are affecting the port right now, and going through all the expansions and then some of the bottlenecks that are there. So that was a really, really good thing. And then I guess the big eye opener was the statement that on Bill C-69, if that goes through, you're not going to see any more expansion of any terminals or anything like that at the port. That will essentially kill that off.
How would that kill it off, and what impact would that have on the port operations?
Well, I mean, we have that bottleneck with the to the North Shore with the bridge, and then that that tunnel that kind of goes through pretty close to a residential area, and it goes underneath, and there's some ventilation issues and whatnot with that. And it's basically anything that that you would want to improve flow. I mean, G3's, a year or so away from opening up, and they're going to need a heck of a lot more trains to that North Shore. And so these are pretty important issues that, we could, see some more traffic going that way, but we need to have some improvements.
Wickett says the seed value creation was a divisive issue at the Wheat Growers Convention?
We, you know, as the wheat growers have come out and stated that we're in favor of, you know, more investment into the seed side of things, we see some, you know, positive uptakes there, but it's very divisive, and even amongst our board and amongst our members in that, there's still differences of opinion, and so it's something that we're, you know, trying to get more information and understand more about it all the time, just to see where we're at. I know everybody complains about, you know, the canola model, but canola acres sure haven't suffered under it. It's gone from, what, 4 or 5 million acres not that long ago to 18 or 19 this year. So it's something we have to see. But, you know, as farmers, we certainly, I know myself anyways, I certainly don't want to have to buy that seed year after year after year. So that's a big concern of mine personally.
The delegates attending the Wheat Growers Convention also discussed the Canadian Grain Commission surplus.
We're still of the opinion that that's farmers' money, and that should come back to the farmers that paid into that. Now, you know, the commission claims that under the Act, there's absolutely no way they can do that. So that's the case. But, you know, that shouldn't be a commission decision to decide where any of that money's spent. So I think that's going to be a pretty big bone of contention coming up, especially if in talking in Ottawa that modernization of the Grain Commission and the Grain Act is on the radar, at least of most of the, well, all of the political parties that we talk to understand that it's you know, it's getting to be pretty long in the tooth, and technology has moved along, and it needs to be certainly looked at to get it into modern times here.
Switching gears, the Western Canadian Wheat Growers is taking a stand against the imposition of a federal carbon tax. Wickett says the wheat growers support the action taken by the Saskatchewan government and others to oppose the tax.
We just see that as a brand new tax structure, and that's all it is. It's got nothing to do with saving the environment. It's a money grab, and we're just, once it's set up, it's tough to get rid of them. It's like income tax. That was supposed to be temporary, and it's not so temporary anymore. And I think people are tired of looking at, you know, 40 and 50% of their wage getting taken by them by income tax, and this is just a different way to grab it. If it was truly for the environment, there wouldn't be all these large company and cement plants in Quebec getting exemptions on all this stuff. They would definitely be having to toe the line like everybody else. But this is, you know, your everything you eat, your anything that shows up on a truck, you're paying this carbon tax on. So if it's a tomato or a potato or a loaf of bread, you're going to pay the carbon tax on it.
Wheat Growers President Levi Wood noted grain is sold into the global market, and the imposition of a carbon tax would make our grain less competitive. It's 12:49 now, and we have the grain prices, the grain futures, coming up next. Now the grain prices, a presentation of Raynor Dean, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Commodities Update.
March canola futures trading this afternoon at $473 a metric ton. That's up $210 from yesterday's close. May canola $481.60, up $230. March Minneapolis wheat $5.60 and a quarter a bushel, up 11 and a half. March Kansas City wheat $457 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter. March Chicago wheat $488 and a quarter. That's up 7 and a half cents. March corn $375 and a half, up 4 and 3 quarters. March soybeans $908 and a half, up 6 cents. March oats $269 and three quarters. That's unchanged from yesterday's close. 9 now before 1. Let's head out now with Tanya Cherry. It's coming up on 5 to 1 now. And finally on the program today, the Alberta government will announce, or will spend rather, $3.7 billion to lease 4,400 rail cars to move oil. First shipments are expected to begin in July with up to 120,000 barrels of oil daily, moving by the middle of next year. About 23% of the cars will be retrofitted to meet new safety standards, while the others will be newly built. Alberta Premier Rachel Notley says CN Rail and CP Rail have given assurances that they'll also be able to meet their grain movement service obligations. Farmers, though, are unsure about how the extra traffic will impact on grain movement. We spoke with Tom Steve, General Manager of the Alberta Wheat Commission.
You know, we support the oil industry and their desire to get their product to market, but there's some practical realities with respect to grain movement, and that is that we have a finite amount of capacity in the system. We're currently experiencing shortage of rail cars as we speak. So in the last 2 weeks, CN and CP performance has dropped to about 60% of hopper car fulfillment. So we really question whether adding additional strain on the system is going to be sustainable. So we've got a lot of questions for the Alberta government in terms of the logistics and how it's going to work. It's one thing to lease rail cars, but in addition to that, you need the power and you need the crews and you need the logistics to be able to execute on those plans, and we've seen none of that to date.
Steve says rail grain shipments are facing enough issues already without additional cars being added for transporting oil.
We've had two major grain backlogs in the last 5 years. We have problems with grain movement now that are emerging, and I think it's a combination of cold weather, and we've had two major train derailments in the last few weeks. So it's concerning that more thought hasn't been put into what the long-term implications are of adding additional strain on the system.
And Steve says there has to be more thought given to the long-term implications of adding more cars to the system.
At a minimum, we need a more comprehensive logistics plan than what we've seen. We've seen assurances from the railways, or at least that's what the Premier is telling us, is that she has received assurances from the railways that they will perform the additional functions. But again, we've had those promises from CN and CP in the past, and what has been the reality? It's been that we've had interruptions in service periodically and all too often that have cost farmers billions of dollars in lost sales.
Tom Steve, General Manager of the Alberta Wheat Commission. We spoke with him about this week's news that the Alberta government will lease 4,400 rail cars to move oil. There are concerns about how the additional traffic will impact grain movement in the long term. And that's our time for the program today. It's 12:58. We'll close it out with GX94's precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Moosomin, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Mainly cloudy this afternoon, wind northwest 10 to 20, high minus 13. Clearing tonight, southwest wind 10 to 15, overnight low minus 23. Sunny tomorrow, wind south-southeast 10 to 20, high near minus 12. Increasing cloud on Saturday, 30% chance of late-day flurries, wind south-southeast 10 to 20, turning to northerly 25 to 45 Saturday evening. Daytime high on Saturday, minus 12. Sunday, 40% chance of early flurries, then becoming partly sunny. Temperature falling during the day to minus 22. Sunny Monday, daytime high around minus 17 degrees. Now turning to this hour's temperature roundup, minus 18 in the Paw, minus 16 in Swan River, Regina, Saskatoon, and Hudson Bay, minus 15 for Broadview, Moosomin, and Indian Head. Dauphin, Shoal Lake Russell reporting minus 14 degrees, minus 13 in Roblin, minus 12 in Brandon. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington sit at minus 19. In the Yorkton-Melville region, partly sunny. The wind is north-northwest at 10. Relative humidity, 72%. Our temperature holding steady over the past several hours here at minus 16 degrees. And that's it for the program today. Join me again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.